Hello and welcome to the 1819th edition of the Sid Vale and East Devon Talking Newspaper, brought to you from the Lee Brown Room, Sidmouth, on Tuesday the 7th of May. My name is Marion Hines, a new recruit to the Talking Newspaper team, and we aim to bring you an interesting selection of general news items, sports bulletins, local politics and details of what's on. Our readers this week are Sue Butler, David Glennie, Gillian Crooks and Margaret Adams. Our producer is Peter Eagles. He will copy your memory stick and a member of the team will mail it to you. John Dixon and Carol Laird are the registrars for this week. We are grateful to the editors of the Midweek, Ottery and Sidmouth Heralds and the Express and Echo, from which we have extracted today's articles, some of which have been abbreviated to ensure we cover as many news items as possible. We begin part one with Sue reporting from around Exeter and an account of a courageous marathon runner. David will tell us of plans for Sidmouth Lifeboat, together with a local sports update, whilst Gillian has information about the proposed relocation of Tipton Primary School. Margaret has an update on the delays affecting the Sid Valley GP Gallery. So please, let us start now, beginning with Sue.
So Sue with the news from Exeter and East Devon. Cranbrook is set to grow as permission for another 1,435 homes has been granted. It is the largest planning permission issued by East Devon District Council since the first application for the new town was approved more than 13 years ago. As well as the homes and 10 permanent pitches for gypsies and travellers, there will be a new three-form entry primary school, a special educational needs school, a neighbourhood centre, land for a place of worship, a vicarage and a cemetery. There will also be new play areas, allotments and areas of green space. Devon County Council has been successful in a bid to the Department of Education for funding to build and open the new special educational needs school. The permission will see more than £4 million spent towards projects including a new health and wellbeing centre, leisure centre, fire station, and improvements to London Road to make it more suitable for people walking and cycling. Three other planning applications for Cranbrook's expansion are likely to see a further 2,085 homes, along with another primary school, sports pitches, open space, play areas, allotments, and neighbourhood centres. These planning applications will be issued when legal agreements are finalised. The town is expected to grow to accommodate a population of around 20,000 people, making it the second largest settlement in the district after Exmouth. Ed Freeman, the council's Assistant Director for Planning Strategy and Development Management, said, "We are really pleased to see this planning permission issued. It will provide much needed homes for people in East Devon, as well as in important facilities such as new schools, shops and play areas." News of a marathon. Running a marathon is known to be a tough challenge, and that's without breaking your leg with 850 metres to go. Exeter school teacher Adam Cunningham was on track for a time of around 3 hours 26 minutes in last month's London Marathon, when he sidestepped a stray water bottle and landed oddly. He said he felt a searing pain shoot through his leg and fell to his knees. Determined to finish, he shuffled on his bottom for more than an hour and a half to cross the finish line with the support from race marshals. He eventually crossed the finish line in 5 minutes and 9 seconds to collect his medal and to get his leg seen to. X-rays showed a break with further fractures into the middle of the bone. The head of junior school mathematics was taking part to raise money for the British Heart Foundation, with a goal to raise £2,500. But after his exploits, his fundraising has more than doubled to £5,200. News of the Royal Clarence Hotel. It is now just over 90 months, 392 weeks, since a major fire ripped through part of Cathedral Yard, with the historic hotel the most high-profile casualty. In the aftermath of the blaze, on October the 28th, 2016, there were hopes the hotel would be rebuilt as near as possible as it was. Instead, after some remedial work, it put the site on the market for £2 million. James Brent's development company bought the site in 2020, but declared a hotel was unviable. Instead, it said the plan was to restore the facade, but to create 23 luxury flats behind that, above a restaurant and bar. Planning permission was granted last September for the £17 million redevelopment. However, a spokesman for Mr. Brent said work has not commenced and no timetable has been published for the redevelopment so far. Devon County Council leader John Hart says potholes are not a problem unique to Devon. There's little doubt that one subject I and my fellow councillors get the most complaints about, and that's potholes. So I was delighted to be able to announce that the County Council, due to prudent budget management, has been able to find at least an extra £10 million to put into road repairs over the coming months. There will be a full paper going to my cabinet next week, but I'm confident of it being approved. I don't think anybody would vote against more cash for potholes. This isn't a problem unique to Devon. Travel anywhere in the country and you will find people complaining about the state of the roads. It's a growing issue because our weather is changing. We're getting wetter and wetter winters and the rain is becoming much more intense. Couple that with occasional freezing conditions and an unprecedented number of violent storms and you have the worst possible combination for road surfaces. The numbers speak for themselves. In the year ending March 2023, we recorded 39,813 potholes. In the 11 months to February 2024, there were 44,260. No matter that in December and January alone, we repaired more than 7,000 defects. So I'm really pleased that we are now in a position to make extra money available for road repairs and drainage. I won't pretend that it's going to fix everything, but it will enable us to do much more. In my early days on the County Council, when Plymouth and Torbay were still part of the authority, it used to be said that Devon had more miles of road than Belgium. Today the Council is still responsible for around 8,000 miles of road, and in lots of rural areas we have numerous roads that were originally just farm tracks and now have to cope with heavy tractors and farm equipment, delivery vans and modern cars, often 4x4s. So we are planning to use at least £7.25 million on extensive repairs right across the county. We'll put an extra £2 million into drainage improvements and £750,000 into replacing faded road markings. The extra money will take our highway maintenance budget this year to over £72 million, and I hope you really notice the difference.
Hello, I'm David Glennie with News of Sidmouth. Sidmouth Independent Lifeboat is applying for planning permission for an extension to its lifeboat station on the Esplanade. A proposal has been submitted for a two-storey extension on the east side of the existing building, about 59 metres square. The aim is to provide more space and enable the Sea Rider lifeboat to be housed in its own boathouse, with direct access onto the Esplanade. At the moment, the Sea Rider is kept in a garage across the Ham East car park, which slows down launch times. Sidmouth Lifeboat says it takes a minimum of 10 minutes to launch, as three people are needed to move the Sea Rider to the sea front. At the moment, there is a shortage of storage and the crew changing room is particularly inadequate. The extension will also provide additional training, work and meeting space and be equipped with energy efficient heating. The proposed extension has been designed to fit into a gap in the street scene while maintaining access to the boatyard behind. The Sidmouth Croquet Club's One Ball competition was played on Wednesday, April the 17th. This competition is an annual England-wide competition in aid of charities. This year, the organisers chose the British Heart Foundation. Every croquet club in England runs its own one-ball competition, with the winner going to the national final in Surbiton. One-ball croquet is, as its title says, a version of the game in which each player is matched against one other, each having one ball to hit through 13 consecutive hoops over a number of rounds. This was our first competition of the season, so enthusiasm was slightly higher than usual. Amazingly, there were no dropouts during the tournament, despite frostbite, hunger, and boredom setting in. Perhaps hot soup as a first prize would be an enticement next year. The eventual winner was Jane Bell, with 150 points, the maximum that can be scored. With John Ball, Duncan Hassel, Roy Hubbard and Andrew Thomas as runners-up on 130 points each. Jane has the dubious honour of going to Surbiton for the final. A total of £175 was raised for the charity. The ladies' section at Sidmouth Golf Club took part in the ladies' medal on Wednesday, April the 17th. The winner was Liz Chance. Second place, Maria Clapp, with a net of 73, and third place went to Sheila Faulkner with a net of 76. Ros Eaton won the putting competition. Sidmouth have made two significant signings, one permanent, one not, ahead of the Premier Division campaign in Tolchard's Devon Cricket League. Luke Beaufort, a 23-year-old keeper batter from Port Elizabeth, is the overseas player at the Fortfield this season. Beaufort was a South Africa under-19 teammate of Bryce Parsons, who returned home to South Africa five games early, which dealt a blow to Sidmouth's title hopes. They finished a respectable third behind Bradnage and Kentisbeare and Sandford. Luke Best, carrying on for another year as Sidmouth captain, will no doubt hope Beaufort makes it to the end of August. He played for WEPL Wilts side Hinton Charterhouse last summer and made more than 600 league runs. George Addy, a student at the University of Exeter, is a short-term signing for Sidmouth. His home club is Otley in Yorkshire. Gone from last season's playing roster are spinner Charlie Miles, who has moved to Wales, and early order batsman Matt Cook, who has retired. Cook played 285 times in Sidmouth's first team between 2003 and the end of last season. He scored more than 4,700 league runs, top score of 109 against North Devon in 2016, and picked up the odd wicket here and there. Miles, who had a run in the Devon team between 2014 and 16, moved on with more than 300 league wickets, the vast majority of them in the first team. Batting was an optional extra for Miles, although a rapid 52 of 26 balls against Heathcote in 2021 won't be forgotten in a hurry. Sidmouth swing into action at home against Exeter this Saturday. A Sidmouth community radio station has joined a consortium planning to apply to run a new digital radio network for East Devon. Sid Valley Radio is becoming part of XDAB, which runs the existing Exeter Digital Service and which includes Devon Radio X, Phonic FM and Riviera FM. Broadcast regulator Ofcom has announced that East Devon is in its next round of areas to be covered by small-scale DAB digital radio. Exeter was in the first round, with a local company, XDAB, becoming aware and awarding the licence to operate the service in November 2022. It now carries 9 radio stations on DAB+. To an area of around 175 square miles, centred on Exeter, and reaching around 133,000 adults. The East Devon area, which Ofcom has invited applicants to serve, covers a broadly rural area of 560 square miles and around 136,000 adults. XDAB will submit its plans to Ofcom this summer as part of a competitive bid process. Ex-Lab Chair Dr. David Trahan said, "These new digital networks increase listener choice in specific areas and allow new entrants to launch radio stations at a modest cost. We're now welcoming inquiries from anyone who wants to broadcast a digital station in East Devon to get in touch and register their interest." Chair Bob Weeks said, "Sid Valley Radio will be able to reach a much larger audience on the East Devon network when it launches. For many years, there's been no opportunity for new community stations to broadcast in East Devon. Ofcom's announcement will change that. We're excited to have become part of the XDAB consortium, and we hope other community organisations will join the line-up too."
This is Gillian with news from Tipton St John and Ottery St Mary. Residents of Tipton St John are being asked for their views on the proposed relocation of the village primary school to Ottery St Mary. A consultation was launched on the school's website and on Devon County Council's Have Your Say website on Wednesday, May the 1st. It set out the plan to rebuild the school at Thorn Farm in Ottery St Mary and provides links to relevant documents. These include a report commissioned by the Department for Education on four possible sites for the new school, two of which are in Tipton St John, Carter's Field and land south of Otter Close. The other two were Thorn Farm and the King's School playing fields. The report considered the suitability, constraints and planning considerations of all four sites before recommending Thorn Farm as the best option. The initial consultation will run until June the 19th. On June the 24th, the governors of the Otter Valley Federation, which runs Tipton Primary, will meet to decide whether to go ahead with the proposed relocation. If they do proceed, there will have to be a formal 4-week consultation ending on July the 25th, and the ultimate decision will be made by the Cabinet of Devon County Council in September. As part of the initial consultation, a drop-in session open to all those interested in the proposal will be held on Wednesday, May the 22nd in Tipton St John Village Hall from 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. Governors from the Otter Valley Federation will be available to answer questions. While there has been a campaign for the rebuilding of Tipton St John Primary for many years, a large number of people feel strongly that it should be in the village. A petition has been launched on change.org, arguing that the primary school is the heart of Tipton St John community, and pointing out that even if it relocates, measures will still be needed to tackle the flood risk in the village. But there is also a view that Tipton Primary needs a new school building as soon as possible, and the relocation to Thorn Farm is the quickest way to achieve this. Responses to the consultation can be sent to Tipton St John Primary School via email admin@tipton.stjohn.devon.school.uk or by post. All responses will be shared with Devon County Council. With 60th anniversary celebrations well underway, the team at Otter Garden Centres were delighted to be contacted by the business's first ever employee. Nigel Blackmore visited the Ottery St Mary Garden Centre to meet up with the founders, Marilyn and Malcolm White, who employed him as a youngster. Nigel, who will be 76 in August, grew up around Coombe Lake and Fenny Bridges near Ottery, attending Ottery Primary, Ottery Boys and then Honiton Secondary School. Once he'd finished his education, he began working full-time at Otter. He said, "I joined at the very start of the business when there was very little at the Gosford Roads Nursery, except Malcolm and Marilyn's second-hand caravan. The site had previously been a chicken farm, so one of my first jobs was ripping out chicken wire using a tractor. Nigel said that even when staff numbers began to increase, working at Otter always felt like being part of a little family. There was great camaraderie, and everyone worked happily together to get things done.
Hello, it's Margaret here with news from Sidmouth. The opening of a GP's surgery at Sidmouth Victoria Hospital is moving a step closer, according to NHS Devon, after being delayed for several months. Sid Valley Practice closed its Blackmore surgery in November last year and planned to move into new consulting rooms at the Victoria Hospital soon afterwards. But there have been delays with installing IT equipment and connecting the computers to the hospital's network, a project that has been managed by NHS Devon, not the Sid Valley Practice. Anxious local residents have expressed their concerns about the lack of a GP surgery in the town centre. Staff at the Sid Valley Practice have also been unhappy about the delay. A spokesperson for the practice said, "We share our patients' frustrations and thank them for their patience while they wait for services to get up and running. Unfortunately, the delay is with agencies out of our control." A spokesman for NHS Devon said, "The delay is unfortunate, but mainly stems from difficulties during the setup of the broadband service and is beyond our immediate control. We are working closely with BT Openreach and we expect the final stages of installation to proceed very shortly, with the IT service due to be live at the end of May." The government's controversial Rwanda bill caused deep divisions at Westminster, and the two MPs serving the East Devon area are equally opposed on the issue. The bill aimed at blocking obstacles to the deportation of migrants to the East African country passed through Parliament late on Monday night after months of wrangling between MPs and peers. Rishi Sunak has said flights carrying migrants to Rwanda could start leaving within 10 to 12 weeks, but ministers are braced for legal challenges to the scheme. The Conservative MP for East Devon, Simon Jupp, voted for the Rwanda bill. He said the scheme is vital as a deterrent to people, smugglers organising illegal small boat crossings to the UK from France, and that Britain should have a fair immigration system. Writing for this paper in advance of the debate, he said, "While small boat crossings are already down by over a third overall, we must take more action. And that's why the Rwanda plan is important." Richard Ford, the Liberal Democrat MP for Tiverton and Honiton, is strongly opposed to the Rwanda plan, saying it bears all the hallmarks of the last gasp from a failing government. Sidmouth Running Club members Amanda Stokes and Louise Dalton ran Winding Paths Total Coastal on Saturday. The 50k route had over 6,500 feet of elevation. Amanda finished 21st out of the field of 116 and Louise finished 39th. Park run addicts Clive Gilbert and Derek Blackburn gained an E when they took part in the Eden Project Park Run. On Sunday, the focus was on the London Marathon. Richard Summerhayes had a cracking run, finishing in 3 hours, 14 minutes, and 34 seconds. David King was the second to finish in 3 hours, 45 minutes. He's also a club member. Experienced London marathoners Linda Hawkins, Richard King and Jane Hemsworth highly commend the experience. Running her first and last London Marathon was Marion Johnson. Marion, 76, is an inspiration to Sidmouth Running Club, training relentlessly and raising an incredible amount of money for leukemia care. Aldi is looking to pinpoint locations for new stores in Cranbrook, Axminster, Exmouth, Exeter and Sidmouth. The supermarket chain has launched a nationwide initiative calling on the nation to help it identify where in Britain it can build a new store. They are looking for new sites in Cranbrook, Axminster, Exeter, Exeter North, Exmouth Central, and a location site in Sidmouth. Those wanting to put their town forward to be considered should contact the supermarket by emailing nextnewstore@aldi.co.uk, clearly stating their postcode and why they believe their area needs a new Aldi store. Aldi is asking for suggestions to be submitted by May the 31st, with the supermarket planning to update customers on the results and its latest priority wish list later this year. The retailer currently has more than 1,000 stores, including around 12 in Devon, and has a long-term target for over 1,500 stores across the UK.
And now for news of what's on over the coming week and some regular events in Sidmouth. On every weekday, a warm welcome for all at the Sidmouth Voluntary Services Morning Cafe at Twyford House, Coburg Road, between 8:30 and 12 noon. Enjoy friendly company in a relaxed environment together with coffee and biscuits. On Tuesday, the Citizens Advice Bureau, based at Sidmouth Hospice at Home, 48 High Street, has a drop-in session from 9:30 till 11:30 for help and advice. Every Wednesday, the East Devon Daytime Brass Band Ensemble meet at Sidmouth Rugby Football Pavilion at Sidford at 10:15 until 12:15. New members are most welcome, and for further information, ring 01395 708 766. Also on Wednesdays, the Oasis Drop-In Cafe at the Lee Brown Room at the Dissenters of Sidmouth is open from 12 noon until 2. Come along and enjoy a relaxed cuppa and friendly conversation. And Thursday afternoon, between 2 and 4, Bairns, Hampton and Littlewood are at Kenaway House, offering a free antiques valuation service with no fee or obligation. Any inquiries to 01 392 413100. Thursday evenings between 7:30 and 9, the Sidvale Folk Choir meet at the Dissenter Meeting House, All Saints Road, Sidmouth, and would be delighted to meet people interested in joining their friendly group. On Friday the 17th of May, starting at 4 p.m, there is Lime Eats Boutique, an evening street food market at the Cobgate Car Park, Lime Regis, full of tasty treats. Thursday, the 23rd of May, is the start of 5 days of live music taking place in and around Sidmouth. Venues hosting free jazz and blues sessions include the Swan Inn, the Volunteer, 14 miles east, Sidmouth Harbour Hotel, the Blue Ball Inn at Sidbury, and the King's Arms at Otterton. More information at www.sidmouthjazz.com. On Friday, the 24th of May, starting at 4 p.m., there is Axminster Eats Boutique, another evening street food market at St Mary's Church, Silver Street, Axminster. And Saturday, the 1st of June, starting at 3 p.m, is a concert of words, magic and music at Sidmouth Parish Church in aid of church funds. Tickets are available from Paragon Books or on the door and cost £10 to include refreshments. Our second half continues with news items from Birr and Axminster, local political comment, details of a forthcoming mobile dental facility, and horrendous details of a murderous attack on two schoolboys and their housemaster.
So again with news from Birr and Axminster. New display signs made by members of the Birr Men's Shed have been installed outside Seaton Gateway Theatre. The theatre received a grant to pay for the signboards from East Devon District Council's Creative East Devon Fund and donations from Yvonne Waite's chair yoga class. Manager Sophia Mosley approached the Men's Shed to see if its members could create signs suitable for the theatre. Being close to the sea, the signs needed to be strong enough to withstand stormy weather as well as the strong summer sunshine. With their wide-ranging skills, the Men's Shed workers designed, made and installed the signboards on the theatre building. Sophia said, "We are very grateful to the East Devon District Council and especially Yvonne's class, who have been incredibly supportive with all our fundraising campaigns." Axminster Town Council welcomes newly co-opted councillor Jenny Bull to the Town Council. Jenny Bull, a single parent and successful business owner, is passionate about equality and empowering others and believes that people can achieve the best for their community through collaboration and kindness. With a diverse background encompassing teaching, healthcare and end-of-life companionship, Councillor Bull brings a wealth of experience and commitment to serve in the community of Axminster. Councillor Bull said, "I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to represent the wonderful town of Axminster. I'm really looking forward to working alongside all of the other town councillors who clearly care a great deal about our community. Like so many, I've experienced life's ups and downs, and every day I work to support those facing some of the hardest moments of their lives. I believe that being a good councillor requires you to be approachable and demonstrate empathy and compassion. I hope these attributes will serve me well as I undertake my role as Axminster Town Councillor." Axminster's Thursday lunchtime concerts are set to start again. The first performance will be by talent from Axe Valley Academy. The annual season features 27 concerts, each from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. at the Minster Church. The event, presenting a mix of local and national talent, including school performers, will run until the end of October. Admission is free, but attendees are invited to donate for the upkeep of the Grade 2 listed building that has been serving the community since the 12th century. Organiser Peter Parshall said, "We're absolutely indebted to all of our wonderful artists who give of their time and skills freely in support of the Minister's upkeep. We very much look forward to welcoming back our regular concert goers, who we hope will be supplemented by the many visitors to the area this year." Concert details are available on Facebook and posters around the town. The Axcliffe Golf Club's ladies section has a very special member in Karen Cox. She went to Exeter Golf and Country Club and won Division 2 of the Devon Golf County Prize and was fourth out of the total field of 60. She then went to Dawlish Warren and again won. Last week, the ladies hosted a friendly tea afternoon for a selection of players from Corhampton, Wedmore, Yeovil, Long Sutton, Sidmouth and Honiton. They all enjoyed a round of golf and a cream tea.
It's David again with news from Honiton and Sidmouth. Jake Bonetta has announced he will be standing for Labour in the Honiton and Sidmouth seat at the next general election. Mr. Bonetta announced the news on social media that he will be standing for the seat. He will go up against Liberal Democrat Richard Ford and Conservative Simon Jupp for the new seat. Mr. Bonetta said, "I'm proud to be the only candidate who grew up in the constituency from birth, made and shaped by the towns, hills and fields surrounding us. I've grown up all my life in Honiton, with local parents and family. I went to school in Honiton and Colliford. Have worked for businesses in Honiton and Sidmouth, and I run an organisation feeding people in the area. I am a proud former EDDC and Honiton Town Councillor. Now, more than ever, the Conservatives are not working for us in Honiton and Sidmouth. With a government led by Keir Starmer, Labour will begin to bring common sense, decency, delivery back into our politics." The Honiton Hearing Centre is expanding its services in its ongoing commitment to serving the community. The centre, based on New Street, plans to widen its offerings in clinical ear care, hearing tests, hearing aids, earwax removal, and hearing protection products. The objective is to enhance accessibility and meet the various needs of both the existing and new clients. In a considerate move, Honiton Hearing Centre is reintroducing home visits to accommodate residents with unique needs. This initiative ensures that regardless of mobility or circumstance, everyone can take advantage of the hearing care needed. A partnership formed in 2022 with Andrew Bird Hearing enabled the centre to increase its staff and hearing care services in Honiton and surrounding villages. Community members requiring hearing care are urged to schedule an appointment to explore the wide range of services available. Volunteers go high-vis as tabards are provided. A set of yellow high-visibility tabards has been presented to the volunteer working party who are keeping Sidmouth Cemetery tidy. For the last few months, a group of local residents has been meeting at the cemetery every Thursday morning to pull up weeds and clear brambles and grass cuttings. Cherishing Sidmouth Cemetery was set up late in 2023 as a subgroup of the Vision Group for Sidmouth, with the support of East Devon District Council, which owns the cemetery. This was in response to concerns over the overgrown state of the site, which was causing distress to people visiting the graves of friends and relatives. Sidmouth Town Council has thanked the group for the ongoing commitment and work of its members and was happy to grant a request for high-vis tabards for the volunteers to wear. The tabards, designed by VGS webmaster Mary Walton Till and carrying the logos of the town and district councils, were handed over by Councillor Ian Barlow, Chair of the Town Council's Environment Committee.
This is Gillian with more news from Devon and Exeter. The first Exeter Street Food Festival has been announced. The event is taking over Northern Hay Gardens from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Friday, June the 14th to Sunday, June the 16th. There will be 25 traders from across the UK, and no two traders will offer the same cuisine. Everything from Indian to Vietnamese, Thai to Moroccan, Mexican to Afghan, Caribbean to Uzbek, along with market stalls and live entertainment. There will be craft beers and fresh cocktails to enjoy. Every adult ticket, which costs £3, includes a reusable cup, which can be redeemed for free entry all weekend after your first visit. Families are welcome and children go free. The old Exeter bus station is no more as demolition works draw to a close. Nearly 60 years after it was built, it has now been flattened. The site has been lying dormant since a new bus station was built next door in 2021. The old site was briefly brought back into use during the construction of the St Sidwell's Point Leisure Centre, which opened in 2022. and the council is now considering temporary uses for the land. Devon is to be given a dental van to help tackle the treatment crisis in hard-to-reach areas. The county's Integrated Care Board, ICB, is one of just 15 in the country to receive a specialist vehicle at some point in the next year. Nigel Aitchison, Chief Medical Officer of NHS Devon, said the van would be a part of the government's dentistry national recovery plan and would go to the most vulnerable and disadvantaged residents in the county. Software would help map the part of Devon most in need of dental services, but there's no set date for it to start. Mr. Aitchison said work was being undertaken to streamline the advice and support people can get in an urgent situation through the 1-1 system, and the county is developing a plan to help alleviate pressure on the county's dental services. This is a survey for residents broadly in favour of councils uniting. Devon County Council's devolution bid with Torbay Council has moved a step closer after a vote in favour of submitting the formal application to the government. Devon's Cabinet has voted to send its bid to become a combined county authority, CCA, with Torbay to the Secretary of State for levelling up housing and communities. The move comes on the back of a 6-week consultation that sought to gauge views on the prospects of the two councils creating a CCA. Proponents say it will mean greater control over various aspects of local government, including the adult education and skills budget, improved coordination for local transport, and a better chance of securing funding for the green agenda and housing. But those with greater levels of scepticism worry that it will create an unnecessary additional level of local government, that the creation of a CCA could dilute the voices of Devon's district authorities, and that finances secured as part of the CCA agreement are too insignificant to make a real difference. The decision was due to go before Devon's full council meeting on Monday, April the 29th, with Torbay's full council set to discuss the matter the following day. During last week's cabinet meeting, Devon's outgoing leader, Councillor John Hart, stressed the importance of considering the wide range of views in the consultation. It showed most respondents believe the prospective devolution deal could boost the county's housing and transport sectors. More than half, 52%, of those surveyed believe a CCA would improve local transport. Slightly more people in the consultation believe the new authority would address housing pressures, with 46% agreeing against 43% who disagreed. Supporters argue that the CCA will have a more direct line to Homes England, the non-departmental body that funds affordable housing, meaning it could be able to secure more money for schemes in the area. If both Devon and Torbay councils agree to submit the CCA proposal to the government, it is expected a final decision by ministers will be made this month. Based on current predictions, the CCA could be formed in the autumn.
It's Margaret again with some more news from other parts of Devon. A teacher has recalled the moment he was hit on the head during a frenzied attack by a hammer-wielding pupil at a boarding school. Henry Rolf Sylvester went to investigate noises after lights out at Blundell School in Tiverton. A trial was heard. When he opened the door to one of the rooms, he saw a pupil stood next to a bed. Mr. Rolf Sylvester stumbled backwards out of the room but managed to disarm the boy after being hit 6 times, he told the court. A few moments later, he went back into the room and discovered two badly injured boys. They had been bludgeoned unconscious in their sleep by the then 16-year-old before Mr. Rolf Sylvester arrived to investigate the noises. There was a large pool of blood on the floor to the left of one of the beds. There was a lot of blood on the desk and the floor. The defendant denies three charges of attempted murder against two pupils and Mr. Rolf Sylvester. He claims he was sleepwalking at the time and did not intend to kill anyone. The incident happened in a dormitory shortly before 1 a.m. on June the 9th, 2023. Armed with at least two claw hammers, the accused climbed onto the cabin beds of each boy and struck them multiple times. The injured boys, aged 15 and 16, underwent life-saving surgery after sustaining multiple skull fractures. One pupil described the scene as a bloodbath, and the paramedics said it was the most harrowing they had ever encountered. The trial continues. Preparations are underway for the return of the Devon County Show at West Point Arena this month. The headline act has been announced, confirmed across all 3 days of the show, Ben Atkinson and his troop of action horses. The Atkinson family has developed a reputation for providing highly skilled horses and riders for TV, film and photo shoots. Saturday, May the 18th is Devon County Show's big family day out, when children go free, and we'll see a morning and afternoon performance by Jamie Squibb and his freestyle motorcycle stunt team. Each show, which lasts 30 minutes, features death-defying tricks and stunts, during which the team will soar through the air from takeoff ramps in front of the crowds and perform manoeuvres mid-air. Tickets can be booked now and get an early bird discount via the show website. This is some news entitled Further Education Providers. Multiple further education providers in Devon are rated as outstanding, new figures show. It comes as the proportion of the highest rated further education trainers, colleges and apprenticeships across England has fallen sharply since before the coronavirus pandemic. Further education covers any study after compulsory secondary education that's not part of university-based higher education. It includes diplomas, industry-specific technical qualification, apprenticeships, and other courses. The Association of Employment and Learning Providers, a membership body which represents further education providers, blamed hugely disruptive lockdowns during the coronavirus pandemic. The Association of Colleges said the fall of outstanding grades was natural due to Ofsted moving from conducting inspections every 10 years to every 3 years in 2022.
And that brings us to the end of our local news for this week. We hope that there has been something to interest and entertain you, and if you know of anyone who might like to receive a copy of the Talking Newspaper, please contact Wendy on 07522 766382. This is an unmanned phone, so please leave a message and Wendy will return your call. Please return your pouch and memory stick promptly so that we can continue sending you the Talking Newspaper each week. We have just two address labels for each listener, so if you are holding two pouches at home, we will not be able to send to you. Also, it is a great help if you can post it in a pillar box rather than over a post office counter. Grateful thanks to Royal Mail for their free delivery service. There is a website where these recordings can be heard using a computer, iPad or smartphone, and the address is www.eastdevontalkingnewspaper.co.uk. This team will be recording the next edition on the 25th of June. Meanwhile, we suggest 6 a.m. is a good time to open your curtains and to close them at 8:30. So, goodbye for now, and thank you for your company.